Blog Talk Radio.
Mark is going to be on here in about 10 minutes or so. He's
Actually, I found out earlier today, actually yesterday, I was thinking about it, realized that when I checked his record that I actually have not only have seen him fight, but I have a YouTube video of his fight in Dorchester, which was actually the town I grew up in.
You saw a guy named Jurgen Hartenstein on that card. I watched that clip you sent me today, Rich. And Jurgen and I had actually seen him fight several times in Philadelphia. And now, first time I saw a Jurgen fight, I think it was a decision, but it was a sloppy, ugly, falling, good punching fight. And it was just a good one to watch. But he fought another one, and he got up to Canvas.
Well, Yep.
heated up a little bit over this last week, and you know, there's a lot of talk about this Anderson Silva versus Roy Jones Jr. match. If it ever happens, I think Anderson has three or four more fights left in his UFC contract. And it was reported that Roy Jones Jr. was in attendance at UFC 101. And obviously, I think Anderson Silva was conscious of that and tried to make it more of a boxing match, not that Forrest was going to do much else than let him have his boxing match, it seems. But you know, he clearly showed his outstanding boxing. I mean, they're not only striking with the fists, but the movement. He was Roy Jones-esque from Roy Jones' early career, and I think he did that on purpose. If you watch the fight, I don't know, but it was a great exhibition of striking, you know, a lot of boxing in that fight. And Silva knocked out Forrest with a jab, which is obviously, as we know, very rare in boxing. It doesn't happen all that often. So that was interesting. Also, another boxing / MMA story is Nick Diaz has just signed a contract to go into the boxing world after it was reported that he might be having some issues with the piss test for his latest Strikeforce fight, since he has a recreational marijuana usage habit. actually, he says he has it prescribed to him for anxiety, but he doesn't technically, I think, have a California marijuana card. He does live out there, but there was talk that they had a backup and everything in place for this latest Nick Diaz fight coming up on, I think it's the 15th this weekend he was supposed to fight. But whatever his next fight is, he was supposed to test for it and didn't meet the appointment. So I don't know why that would make him switch to boxing, or if that's the main motivation or what's going on. But I think, as I understand it, you have blood work done before you get your license to box, and then it's like a random test, isn't it?
Bigger cards, like, you know, like a lot of these, like, cards, Atlantic City, New York City, Las Vegas, those are generally, everybody gets tested.
Right.
As far as I know, you know, I might be wrong, but it might be random, as you said, but.
So maybe it's just a delayed tactic. He's just going to switch sports to keep himself in the news and get that delay so that he can set up his next fight outside of MMA, which is a possibility. I don't know. But whatever he's doing, he's trying to prove a point that you know, he can do two sports at once, I guess. And we'll see what happens. Other than that, obviously we had the big UFC 101 event we'll talk about later on. Disappointed in Ken Florian's performance, but you know, we got a whole lot to get to before we talk about that. And then also we have the Gina Carano versus Chris Cyborg event coming up this weekend, and a couple other boxing matches. We'll go to the boxing match or the boxing schedule. We'll get to it later on with the MMA. Quickly after we get the interviews out of the way. Without too much further ado here, I'm going to get Mark TNT Tucker on the phone. And if you go to our blog, actually, you can check out the top story there. You can actually check out a video of this fight. Well, it won't be the top story probably by the time you listen to this, because I'll probably post some more. But you'll see it on the first page. And ironically enough, even though I have seen him fight, this was kind of set up by somebody else, a guy that used to write for us, Matt Yanofsky, who must be doing some PR work for Mark. And it's just a coincidence I've already seen him fight.
It was funny when you told me, Matt had set this interview up, because I was looking at Mark Tucker's record, and the one guy on there, whenever Andre Hinfeld was one of that boys.
Well, I'd ask him about that.
Enjoy the kitchen until your party answers the phone.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hello?
Hey, Mark, how's it going?
Very good.
Well, this is Rabble Rousing Rich. And we got Tony on the line here, too. Tony, the Tornado Pinnacal, is the co-host.
Okay, good. How are you doing?
Well, we were just talking about how I seen you fight up here in Dorchester, Mass, not too long ago, in the spring, and you've had a few more wins since then, and I just kind of wanted to ask you, you know, what's it like to be starting off so strong in the sport? And I was looking for some pictures online, and I seen the one picture of you that I picked for the blog to announce the show. You're hitting the bag with a jacket on. Is that how you normally train?
Well, no, not really. Usually when it's cold in my gym, because we got a wood stove for a heater, it gets pretty cold. And,
so that's not just to lose weight.
I'm cutting weight.
Yeah, I know the feeling. It's like, you know, you're trying to get ready for the last days at the gym. I mean, I used to train in the one gym at 100 degrees, but when you got to cut weight, it's like you got jackets on, you got sweatshirts on. I mean, you got to do whatever you got to do.
Yeah, when I wrestled, I lost a pound and a half in 15 minutes once, and running in the showers with 8 layers of clothes on. 15 minutes, I'll never forget that. That was tough.
Yeah, we don't have any yet, just me, sir. It just gets hot and drills outside his test up outside
it.
And something related to liquor here, which can be for cheesetemple.com, and liquor is driven, you have a lot of tremendous games on there. I mean, I'm at the Philadelphia area. Several of the fighters I know personally. Like, you have a one round knockout over a fighter named Khalid Farah. And, you know, he's a young fighter, always, you know, good guy to get on the record. Then you had a knockout over a guy who I know very well, Richard Stewart. Short, stocky, Charles Hinton type of guy. He knocked him out one round. And then a win over Jurgen Hartenstein, who I actually covered. It's a fighter of two times. Very awkward. And he's a guy that's usually good at going the distance. And I watched the clip, and he just kind of put him in the corner and took him out in, you know, about a minute.
It's not a box, and when you get somebody there, you just got to take advantage of it. And it's just what happens.
Now, Mark, how'd you first get into boxing?
I was 12 years old. I kept on buying my dad won the box and gave the gym. And I see the gym and been there ever since.
And what do you like most about it?
Still beating up people, not getting arrested, not getting in trouble, flying to fans, buying autographs.
Do you have an ultimate goal or anything in the sport?
I'd like to be a top world champion one day and be one of the best players ever.
That's good. And looking ahead, is there anybody out there that you're looking to fight next? Do you have anything in the works or anything like that?
No, not yet. Managing team is appreciating that.
When we were talking about your last team today, you sent us an email, when you were speaking to us, and some of the players that you've been training against with, Jack Johnson, Paul Punish Williams, Antonio Tarver, Wayne Jobby, I mean, that's a, here's who, boxing in the middleweight divisions. And he said that there's a possibility of a fight Friday, September 25th in Maryland for the USBA heavyweight title. Any other information on that?
Fight, I fought a UFC champion, John Fleming,
It's about 10 to 93 seconds. So,
yeah,
land of 92 points.
There you go. Yeah. Well, it's been in the news before, but it's kind of been stirred up again. And here's one that I bet you'd love to comment on. Floyd Mayweather kind of stirred it up when he said that white guys can't box. What's your thoughts on that one?
What do I think about that one? I don't know. What can you really say about that? Some people have their own opinion. It's a man, too. That's the great thing about America. We're all entitled to our own opinions.
Well, is there anybody other than your dad, inside or outside the sport, that's been a role model for you over the years, kept you going?
Bruce Lee has been a big role model for me. Roy Jones Sr. has been a big role model for me. Vinny Caglianta.
I just actually met Vinny at the big mixed martial arts event they had here up in Mixed Town Over a couple weeks ago. And he still looks like he's in shape to box, believe it or not. He says he does it all for his woman.
Ready to go. That's good.
All right, Mark, did you have anything else to add, or you want to give a shout out to anybody or anything?
That's it.
All right. Well, it's been great having you on, and look forward to following your career. Wish you the best of luck.
All right. Did you want to speak to my dad or my trainer?
Sure, yeah, if he wants to say a few words. Sounds like he's been feeding you the words all along.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
Great, man.
So what's it like to have your son be your star athlete, too?
it's a challenge. You know, it's a big challenge. It's exhilarating and frustrating all at the same time. You know, he's a 21-year-old young man, an athlete, and we're traveling in new territory that's uncharted for both of us, and about trial and error. But the hard work's paying off, and we have some pretty good philosophies, and he mostly stays grounded, but you know, he's a 21-year-old, he has a little bit of growing pains now and then.
And what's your experience with boxing? Did you just kind of jump into it because you wanted to get into it, or did you have some experience before?
I used to box in the 80s and late 70s, and I did, back when it was AAU, before it was USA Boxing, and Adrian Davis trained me in D.C., and Jeff Schufelt out of Wisconsin, and a couple different guys, and I've been a Mason and stuff, but a student of the game. And actually what happened was, for about 3 years, Mark quoted me about boxing, and I wouldn't let him. And he took great baseball and football. Around November, football season just ended. I said, all right, you know, you can do some boxing. It'll be great. It'll improve your hand speed, hand-eye coordination, and explosiveness, and it'll help you interview better in baseball and football. He started November 1st of 1999, and in spring of 2000, he won the Golden Globe Championship in D.C., and he got hooked, and that was it. And, you know, November 1st of 2008, 9 years to the day, he was able to fight on the undercard in Las Vegas at Mandalay Bay, and that was pretty neat.
Yeah. Anytime you get to go to Vegas, it's neat.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was a dream. We went out there and we watched Sean Bay Mitchell and fight Costa Zoo. And we had one day I'm going to come out there and fight. Well, you know, he actually fought in the same arena 9 years later to the bank when we walked in the gym, and you know, he used to sit on the apron cross leg Indian style as a little 12, 13-year-old watching Sean Bay and Joppy train with each other. And you know, he's boxed a lot of really good fighters when he was younger, and you know, was only 119 pounds. He was sparring with Mark Tushar Johnson all the time.
back with us. He was one of our original writers. And he told us a little bit about his training background, Mark's, and some of the high-class fighters that he's been in the ring with, trained with. What's that been like? Has he hung tough with those guys pretty good?
He's done an unbelievable thing. He held his own with everybody in here. It was pretty incredible. He was 16 years old. Told him God, he's getting ready for Leonard Duran. He sparred with him. We signed a little waiver. We lied and said he was 19. And he held his own. It was a pretty neat experience. Told him God, he was just the friendliest, nicest guy in the world. And there was just a lot of things on that year. But it gave us a strong friendship with Buddy McGurk. Mark actually, when he was 17, and his buddy thought he was like 19 or 20, and Mark drove himself down there to train with Buddy for like 7 weeks. But when he got to Florida, he had the 18 to check into a hotel, so he actually slept in his car the whole time, and like parking lot and Walmarts and stuff, and was polishing Tractor Trailer tires and wheels and heard about Buddy to eat and stuff. And because he didn't want Buddy to find out because he felt Buddy get mad and send him home. And then one day Buddy saw that that loaded wood in the rear window of his car. And where he'd been staying, they told him the truth. The boy let him sleep in the gym in the rain.
Oh, there you go.
He's got some cool stories, man.
I heard of sleeping with your weapon in the military, but sleeping in the rain in boxing, that's a new one.
Yeah, well, he did it. Yeah.
That'll teach you to be comfortable in the ring.
Yeah, that's it. It's a funny thing. It's crazy. When I was a little kid, my uncle said by they had roosters, they were cockfighting and all. It was a normal thing back where I grew up. And then when Mark was really young, I got a picture of him like 3 years old, hold a fighting cock also, and you know, so that would be like 18 years ago. And you know, it's funny that Roy Jones, you know, his father had roosters, and they actually learned a lot of stuff watching those roosters. Just do their pecking order thing. We never had them actually fight in a thing, but they just kind of spar each other in and run around out in a barnyard, you know. And then later he got into boxing, and it was funny how his favorite fighter there for a long time was Roy Jones. Was one of his favorite fighters. He still follows him to this day. Now that he's got 58 of Roy Jones Jr.'s fights, and he blocked all 58 of them preparing for the Roy Williams fight.
That's interesting because I mean I've seen him fight up here in Dorchester, the Armory there. That was one of the first boxing matches I've been to in a long time. I usually go to more mixed martial arts fights around here than boxing, but I got invited to that one, and I got to see him. I got the video on YouTube, actually. So it was ironic that we got to get hooked up with him and had the interview.
Yeah.
One thing I noticed is he's obviously he's a southpaw, and that kind of confuses people a little bit, but he's just all raw skill, and there's no real, I didn't see any real dips and dives like Roy used to do. It was pretty much just all punches, and he fought a very, very good fight and waited to the right moment and saw the guy was a little bit injured and just took him right out right before the round ended. It was nice. One of the best fights I've seen.
Yeah, when he saw up there, I know it wasn't very long ago, but I don't know, he had like 7 or 8 rounds under his belt then. And, you know, after that fight, he came down and won a one-round fight with Richard Stewart. And then he went 8 rounds with Bill Thompson, Ron Lock. Went 8 rounds with a real tough journeyman, Andre Hesse, learned in that. And then 10 rounds with Mervin. But the 10 rounds with Mervin, and Mark was a different fighter. And he threw, I got the statistics, I don't remember. I guess he threw 925 punches in a 10-round fight. And that's, you know, that's right up there in the river books for light heavyweight, I think. And he was doing a few Roy Jones things in that fight, as well as the Andre Hempel fight. AJ Davis commented the day after the Andre Hempel fight, he said, man, he was like a young Roy Jones Jr. Mark, unbelievably good. I can't believe what I'm saying. And that was a real big compliment because I look up to Adrian Davis and he helps us a lot every year as well.
Well, one thing I know is that, you know, especially from the way they've been hyping up this latest Roy Jones Jr. fight with Jeff Lacy, is that Roy loves his hooks. And obviously in that Jurgen Hartenstein fight, he knocked him out pretty much with hooks. And Tony and I like the hooks, too. We used to throw the primarily hooks at that fight, right, though?
Well, I was a short guy, you know. I used to pattern myself as a combination of Marciano and Frazier, so... But so when we were talking earlier, and I was talking to Mark about this, so one of the fighters that he has a knockout on his credit is a guy named Richard Stewart. Knocked him out one. And Richard was he's the brother of Mike Stewart, who was on the Contender. I know Richard. I scouted him on a number of occasions, and I became friends with him. And that's what I said to Rich when we were talking. I said, before we got Mark on the phone, I said, Stewart's very impressive because he's a short, stocky, tough guy, hard puncher. And I said, what impressed me a lot about that was the fact that he took him out one round. Rich is, one of those guys that, he comes forward straight ahead. And, to take a guy like him out is, no easy feat.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the game plan for that fight was to knock the staff on his toes, keep a gap and keep turning him. But he caught Richard with a couple hard shots early, and I don't think Mark realized he'd bugged him. And then Richard tackled him into the ropes, and right before he did that, Mark had bugged him with a hook, and Stewart stomped his feet. But the crowd, everybody, the way he did it, it looked like, somebody caught his feet like a bull, but he was really trying to fight to get his equilibrium back. And then Mark got angry with him and caught him with a hell of a shot. And Stewart just kind of collapsed on him and tackled Mark through the ropes. And on the video, you can see a welcome incident on Richard Stewart's eye. And then Mark was angry then, and he wasn't on his toes anymore. And he just got flat-footed and just caught loose on him, and that was the end of that, 15-20
seconds left, and it was over. He got on his face. And one of the few fighters that I've seen, when he gets angry, he just gets so focused instead of getting wild out of control. That's a good thing. Now, you just seen him transition from some of these short 4 and 6 round and 8 round fights to a full 10 rounder. What was that difference like in the training and all that?
Well, we got some, there's a mathematical formula that we used to have here that we're doing. And, Mark Trump told us to take the hand Trump on him and hand belt. And, I trained him that, but basically, so 4 round fights, he was on a 4 miles, 6 round fights, 6 miles, 8 round fights, 8 miles, to bumping up the, distance and his, room work. And then, bumping up the rounds. Absolutely, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
It's just,
hey, I'm the guy that's telling him what to do every day of his life, you know? And that's got to go for him, you know? And I understand that, but I try to give him his space as well. And luckily I got a little knack for coming up with strategies. I'm not, you know, very good for teaching any kind of particular technique or anything like that. And I was telling him I was a little weapon because I got back for telling me which one's the throw against which guy, but you know, basically I'm trying to always have him take on his own and figure it out for himself as much as possible. That's my biggest goal, is to be able to throw a stake up and, you know, like, I heard the same thing, say when the fight starts, Sanders just let him fuck. And, you know, that's what I do. Since Bell's down, I'm sitting down. He's the one out there throwing the punches and taking the punches. And so trying to get prepared for it. And,
the car. George St. Pierre did to him in the fight before, which was pretty much use his superior wrestling
to negate everything that BJ Penn brought to the table. But what happened was BJ Penn all of a sudden became a different fighter and just totally upped his training regimen and workouts and strength and conditioning and all that stuff. And Florian came in with a completely different strategy, was not the same fighter. He had mentioned in an interview that I just read the other day that his cardio, or not his cardio, but his Muay Thai and his striking and all that was kind of thrown out the window for more of a, you know, takedown and, you know, push him up against the cage offense, which I don't know why they did that, because to me, I mean, you don't want to go to the ground with a guy like BJ. And Kenny's biggest strength is his elbows and his Muay Thai, his, you know, kicks and strikes and stuff like that. And he didn't throw a lot in this fight. He just kind of looked like a flat version of himself, like the pressure had gotten to him or something. And, you know, he went all four rounds and you know, fought a very tactical, smart fight in a lot of ways, like he was trying to avoid damage rather than, you know, get into exchanges with BJ, because BJ is also, well, he proved anyway that he's still a great boxer. You know, he's still got great boxing and striking. And it was actually a good fight to watch, don't get me wrong, but you know, I don't think Kenny fought up to his potential at all. And didn't use much of his Muay Thai. I didn't see a lot of knees. I only saw a few elbows here and there. And that's his game. You know, that's what he's best at. So I don't understand why he abandoned that, unless it was because, you know, he thought he had to duplicate GSP's performance to beat Penn. But who knows? I don't know what his motivations were, what he was thinking. But what's done is done. He lost the fight, and you know, it changes the whole landscape of the UFC a little bit there as far as that division. Next fight for BJ is probably going to be with Diego Sanchez, who beat Florian way back in the day when Florian first got hooked up with the Ultimate Fighter show there. And he was 30 pounds underweight then, so Kenny's also waiting for his rematch. So those three guys will all fight each other at some point. We'll see what happens. But the other fight on the card that made some big news was Forrest Griffin. Got pretty much pummeled in a space of a couple minutes with Anderson Silva really trying to put on a boxing performance, like I mentioned a little earlier. He's trying to channel Roy Jones to show him what he could do. And there's a lot of talk about now he's going to stay at 205. He's not going to go down and, you know, keep cutting weight and try to stay down at the lower weight class. He's going to stay at 205 and abandon the 185 belt. So we'll see what happens there. I guess the only conflict there is Lyoto Machida, who is the champion at that weight class, has said that he will not fight Anderson Silva. And Anderson Silva said he won't fight him because they're both Brazilian. And Dana White came out, of course, and said, well, they will fight. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Dana says he can make it happen, so I don't know if that bodes well or not for the UFC, because I know that Anderson has been kind of crushed about this whole idea that he can't fight Roy Jones Jr. as long as he's signed up with the UFC. So I think after these three fights, he's going to be gone. He's going to do his boxing thing and maybe come back after that, or maybe just either stick with boxing or go to another league, because I don't think he likes this whole idea of not being able to compete elsewhere. We'll see what happens with him. He's still definitely the best pound-for-pound fighter out there, in my opinion. And I'd like to see somebody give him a challenge. And, of course, on the undercard, our next guest, John Howard, had a great fight against Camden McCrory. Well, I'm not sure if he's from Massachusetts, but I know I've seen him at one of the events up here and a couple towns over from here, Plymouth, Massachusetts. And his nickname is the Barn Cat. And he's a scrappy fighter. He has some unconventional techniques. And he was doing fairly good in the fight. But John just has superior physical characteristics and know, better wrestling, I think. And Camden spent a lot of the fight on his back where he's comfortable, but he wasn't really scoring points. So we'll have to talk to John about that and get his perspective. So we've been waiting a long time for this interview. Tried to get him on a couple weeks ago, but before the fight. But he was otherwise occupied. I guess he was cutting the weight, according to a lady that hooked us up with the interview. So we wouldn't have wanted to talk to him, she said. Ramble, Rouse, and Rich. Bergeron, how's it going?
Pretty good, yourself?
Good. It's, we're live here with the Fight News Unlimited Combat Sports Show. We got Tony the Tornado on the line, too.
Hey, what's up? Hey, what's going
on? Good, we were just talking about your past fight here in the UFC 101 against Camden McCrory and how unconventional his fight game was. What was that like to deal with?
It was crazy. He beat me in 6-4 and a long reach with a long off of the first. But once I got to the side there, I just got taken down trying to use my knees, use my shoulders, and it worked, basically.
Now, for a skinny, tall guy, he doesn't look like he's that tough when you look at him, you know, just outright. But obviously, once he got in there and started scrapping, it must have really surprised you, huh?
Yeah, it surprised me. Actually, Tim's not going to be there, man. And he's a tough guy. He's a big circuit. But he's open to the weather, man. So I know he gets down and scratch him. He gets chop open the eyes, man. So I know what he's all about, man. He knows me and we know each other. As a matter of fact, we have a whole fight where we talk to each other. Finally, he has to basically have a fun, man. Because we know how to get down there. So it looks like it's different. When someone knows your weekend,
right. And, you know, talk a little bit about that scene. You know, you're obviously from Boston. I can tell by the accent. What's it like with all the talent around here in New England, and particularly in the Boston area?
It's crazy, man. The local talent is unbelievable, man. I'll tell you, I was just telling somebody else, I swear to God, this is my wife, man. These fighters coming out, man. I'm just an out-close tiger. He's a breed of fighters, but unbelievable, man. It's something to watch, man. They're the best in the future, man. I'm just glad I got my spot.
And it seems like a lot of these guys from Massachusetts who stand out end up in the UFC. You know, you got obviously the main event on the fight card that you were on there. Kenny Florian didn't turn out well for him, but you know, he's a Boston native, and you got Joe Lazon. And are you hoping for the same success that they've had?
Yeah, I'm definitely hoping that they have the same success. And I want to give a shout out to Kenny Florian, Joe Lazon. Because they're the ones that put us on the map, man, and they show that Boston doesn't come out, man. We all call Bobby Davis, Tony Rivera, a lot of fighters from Boston out of the UFC, man. It's just, it shows that, man, that Boston has to think out already from the UFC, man. It's just amazing, man. The whole thing, you can see that they run to Boston.
Now, I know it's, Philly's not too far, but now that they're talking about regulating mixed martial arts in Massachusetts, you must be excited about that, huh? Getting the fight at the UFC here.
I'm very excited, man. I can't wait for that. That's a very long time. So, luckily we have the father of the hometown fans that it's just so true, man. So, hopefully that will still nice and love and keep it for whatever happens.
Well, I don't know if it had anything to do with it, but, you know, I actually connected with you because of our coverage and our help with the Brockton Rocks event there, the KGFX fights at the Brockton Rock Stadium. And then, lo and behold, over the last week, I hear rumors that Dana White is eyeing Fenway Park. So did you whisper in his ear or something about that event, or what?
Hooked into the sport still, and
you know, so I don't necessarily think it's dying, but I do think that mixed martial arts is putting a lot of pressure on the sport and making sure that some of these fights happen that wouldn't have happened otherwise because they're not having to compete. Now you get these, obviously Dana White is picking up on the whole competitive idea by staging a UFC event the same night of the Mayweather fight. So sounds like, you know, you guys are both sports are keeping each other on their toes.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk now about Anderson Silva staying at that
205 weight class, and Dana White, even though these guys are saying they won't fight each other because they're countrymen, they're fellow countrymen and friends, I guess, they're talking about making them fight anyway, Dana is, and that could only be, great for the sport to see that, because, I mean, obviously, Anderson is mentioned among the pound-for-pound best, and I think Lyoto Machida is, if not among them, he's an honorary mention. Yeah, so that's interesting that they're at least talking about making these super fights, and there are so many options in the UFC. The only complaints that I'm seeing in the press are with the heavyweight division in the UFC, as far as a guy with just four fights being the champion doesn't jive with a lot of the experts out there. But what can you do? You beat the guy with the belt, so you got to give it to him.
That's why I get a pretty good person in the UFC, and I get my
be great. You know, I think we have the pull. But it's just waiting for the time to happen. If it happens, then it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, definitely. And is there anybody out there you really want to fight in your next fight? Is there anybody you got your sights on or most hoping to fight in the future sometime down the line?
Well, I want to fight the veteran that I'm not being able to have to be away because I don't hope he comes to 170. If not, hope he wants to let me go to 185 and fight him. Frank's ready. I want to fight him. Let me stick with Rookie Second Fighter. I'm looking for a host one day to fight him. You know, we'll see how it goes. I like to go see Frank's congratulations, but I am looking forward to fighting him hopefully one day. Right now, man. I mean, if it was for me, I don't have to go fight, man, but that's what I'm looking forward to fighting to, man. Also, I'm looking forward to fighting to Anthony Johnson, man. I mean, he has a little bad blood, but, you know, as a fighter, I respect him. I think he's a tough opponent. I think the world is on it. And I think I'm going to have a real great fight, man. So I'm kind of looking forward to that. The last time I was going to be finished, and I hope he's all right, and I'm wishing him the best, but it would be the game, and it would be awesome to fight back.
Very irritated about his managing situation. and his manager, Al Weill, had an agreement where he made 50% of everything that Rocky made, you know, whether it was an appearance or whatever, 50% flat. And Rocky always hated that, and he never really could do anything about it because, you know, he was the man at the time, this guy who managed him. And at the same time, you know, here he is fighting Joe Louis because Joe Louis doesn't have any money after all his fights and after all he did for the government. You know, so boxing has always been hampered by that kind of stuff, too. So it'd be nice someday if there were some kind of fighters' union to take care of all these issues, or at least, you know, try to get the fighters even keel with some of the management and the officials.
Yeah, honestly, I would discuss with me. I don't want to speak to my daughter because I'm just a small guy, and they make fun. A small person they make fun, but I can't speak to my daughter. But if we get some on a big star right now to do that, well, you should not be lost in that. But they have to try because they want to do this single thing well. And right now, if you single out, like, Mr. Silva Machida, he was somehow a great fighter. That's what I'm trying to be here. And then other fighters will follow. But if you get those guys, trust me, every fight will follow. If you achieve it, then you can call it here. Then that will happen. But that's not going to happen first. And that's kind of hard to happen right now, man. I mean, that can happen. That's it. I went to see you too because I don't have to bring up my future.
But
I don't know if it
happens. Yeah, actually, kind of makes me think about how De La Hoya, when he started getting involved in boxing, there was a lot of talk about how great it was going to be for the fighters. It hasn't quite materialized too much yet, but I know that, you know, he does take care of his fighters, and everybody that works for him is, you know, really, really lucky to have him for a manager. And they do really be paying a lot of attention to the business side of things.
Yeah, they know that.
They know about their money. Let's get back to the UFC. You know, what do you think about the competition out there? Obviously, the Strikeforce guys just picked up a big acquisition in Fedor, but at the same time, the UFC really capitalized on the collapse of Affliction by picking up a lot of those contracts, too. So it seems like no matter what happens, the UFC just, you know, rolls with the punches.
Yeah, and when you look at, I was the one favorite that happened, but it's just a lot of them. Maybe he felt that he got something better. And he might have said, it doesn't put the UFC too much in his mind. I mean, it's the UFC, they're the number one, there's much more out there. Eventually, man, I think they would have overcharged some of the things that's not right now. But let's see what happens.
I don't think he wants to fight in the UFC. I mean, honestly, if you had the choice of what Strikeforce has for heavyweights to fight or what the UFC has, I think he'd go with Strikeforce, too. You know, he's not getting any younger. And, you know, even though he's still seen by a lot of people as the number one pound-for-pound fighter out there right now, you know, he hasn't really fought anybody that's is very recognizable even in the last few years. I mean, you look at his opponents. I mean, who among his last few opponents have really been superstars? I can't name anybody off the top of my head.
Well, he has two too, but I was hoping he could make more money. Fighters are not really, I'm not 100% sure. But I don't know what it is, but I'm pretty sure that he's going to find a way he wants to go out on top. On fight the belt, and after that, and try to sign like that. But you're right. He has a choice to see if he can save money or make more no money to fight less fighters. And maybe that's not what we're doing. It's an honorable move. I'm not so sure about that, and I don't want to speak on that because I'm not in a position to say that.
And as far as your own career, what got you into fighting in the first place?
It's a funny story, man. I was a job for, and I'll be an electrician, and I got an electrician training, like AC certification. And I met Johnny G. Stolz, who's a rapper now. And I didn't know what rapping was until I met some kid, man. And he showed me what it was. He took me to the gym in
but I can do that in the show. And after the show, I got pretty good, and I was able to get to the challenge. And at the job board, I went back home to Boston, and that's the guys who were supposed to there, and I took off with them.
So you never had anything in high school, like wrestling background or anything like that?
Keep you in the loop, and
we'll give you a call when you get closer to that title shot. How about that?
Sounds good to me, sir.
All right. You have a good night.
All right. Have a great night.
So we got about 10 minutes left here, maybe actually 20.
Joshua on Yango, who's 14 and 17 with 11 knockouts.
definitely another kid we're watching, hoping he stays undefeated. And, you know, he's still doing the 6 rounders here, but he's probably going to be moving up to the 8 and 10 rounders pretty shortly here. Yeah, sometimes they go back and forth. I don't know why, but he's at Golden Boy, so we're taking care of him.
Yeah.
And also the main event on that card is pretty interesting. It's a 12-round light welterweight fight between Vivian Harris, 29-3, and Noel Bolanos, 20-4, with one draw. And Bolanos has never been knocked out. He has 12 knockouts. Vivian has 19 knockouts and has been knocked out twice. So that's an interesting one. And then before that, actually, in your area, Pennsylvania, Butler, Pennsylvania, wherever that is, Pullman Park.
I think that's close to Pittsburgh.
Okay. Well, there's a 12-rounder heavyweight fight on the card. It's really the only big fight on the card. And it's between Brian Minto, 33-2, with 21 knockouts, and Donnell Holmes, who is 31-0 with 27 knockouts. How come I haven't heard about that guy?
So he has a couple fights over in Pitch Battle on that, and I think it was a first-time fighter, so maybe the kid to watch.
And it's for the WBA FedEx heavyweight title and the vacant WBO NABO heavyweight title. So a lot of brass on that. Other than that, Hank Lundy is back in action. Now they're calling him Henry Lundy.
Well, Henry's his real name. I mean, he goes by name.
Okay. Wow. He is lightweight, right? Okay, so he's going to be the main event in New Jersey, the Salem, New Jersey show here on Friday night, tomorrow. And he's going to be going 10-rounder against, guess who? My cousin, Gary Bergeron. No relation. No relation, Gary Bergeron, who's 10-4 with 6 knockouts. And Lundy is 14-0 with 8 knockouts.
Yeah, we're going to get back together. We're going to do it together. We're going to get back together.
Luis Antonio Arceo, who's 21-8, with 2 draws and 14 knockouts. Then, of course, the biggest big event of the entire weekend is Roy Jones Jr. versus Jeff Lacy, that we were talking about earlier with our first guest. Jeff is 25-2 with 17 knockouts. Roy is 53-5 with 39 knockouts. No draws among them. Roy has been knocked out twice. Jeff has never been knocked out. It's for the WBO NABO light heavyweight title. So, big belt on the line there between these two. And we're going to see what Roy Jones has left, I think, in this fight. Jeff is going to be one of his biggest tests since his comeback here. So, we'll see what happens.
You know, the thing with Jeff Lacy is that maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I would say yes. But Jeff has really stepped ever since I lost to Taliban 8 years ago. And I was reading a report from a fight writer that I follow a pretty young man named Greg Houston. And he was expecting me, try to box in the ass out, try to make it a very unentertaining fight. It could be the other game with Jeff Lacy, and Lacy not to be able to catch up to him. And
and I do believe that GoFightLive.tv is going to be covering this one, and you can order it actually through our site. There's a hell of a lot of fights on this card that are even better than the main event, I think. I'll get to them in a second, but if you want to order the fight, go to the blog, and there's a story about this, the last story that I've posted. I think it might still be on the first page, but it could be on the second page. But if you check it out, you click on that link, we actually get like $2 for every buy. So definitely pick that up if you're a boxing fan through us, and it'll help us out a little bit. But also on that card, we have a bunch of great matchups. I mean, just an incredibly well put together card for guys that aren't really, number one or number two or even number three in the promotional business here. They got a great card, cruiserweight 12-rounder between Danny Green, 26-3 with 23 knockouts, and Julio Cesar Dominguez, 20-4 with 14 knockouts. That's for the vacant IBO cruiserweight title. And then also at lightweight, we have a 12-rounder, Verquan Kimbrough, 21-1 with 7 knockouts, versus Jason Liptau, 24-2 with 20 knockouts. That's for the vacant NABF lightweight title. BJ Flores is on the card, undefeated cruiserweight, 23-0 with 1 draw, versus Epifanio Mendoza, 29-7 with 25 knockouts and 1 draw. Flores has 14 knockouts to his credit. A lot of other undercard fights. Pretty decent card overall. Then we go down to, let's see. Gotta go to Australia. There's a pretty decent card. 12-round middleweight fight heading it off between Sam Solomon, 35-11 with 13 knockouts, versus Sintong Kit Busaba. It's 11-6. Sam is 35-11 with 13 knockouts. This is for the vacant IBO International Boxing Organization Asia Pacific middleweight title. Oh, that's a mouthful. And the vacant IBF Pan-Pacific middleweight title. And that's about it until next week. And we got a lot of mixed martial arts stuff here to cover. So let's get to that real quick. I'm not really going to be spitting out a lot of names here because we're short on time. We got 5 minutes left. But Platinum Fight Brazil is going to be happening tonight, actually. There's a whole bunch of guys down on that card at the Natal Rio Grande do Norte, Brazil. So, let's see, 8 fights there. Main event, Jorge Rodriguez versus Gil Freitas. Then we have King of the Cage Superstars. That's at San Manuel Casino in Highland, California. That's also tonight. Tony Lopez versus Dave Cryer for the light heavyweight championship. The King of the Cage, and then Victor Valenzuela versus Tony Hervé for the lightweight championship. Charles Bennett versus Eric Moons, an interesting fight. Crazy Horse Bennett from Strikeforce fame. Sal Farinetti versus Neil Cook. Greg Guzman versus Ruben Duran. Chris Kelly versus Brian Abraham. Hubert Gallegos versus William Wheeler. And Mario Barnes versus Ulises Figueroa. And then, of course, we have Jeremy Horn's Elite Fight Night 10. It's a new little organization here. Travis Marks versus Jeffrey Willingham. Nick Rossborough versus Ben Fuimano. And then Corn, a bunch of other guys there. Good fights there. And you can't forget the first mixed martial arts card with a female fight as their main event. It's going to be in San Jose, California. Strikeforce, Carano versus Cyborg. And we have a ton of press on our website, on the blog about this, so check that out. Of course, the main event is Gina Carano versus Christian Cyborg Santos. And this is definitely, to date, the toughest girl that Gina has ever fought. And I think she's going to give her a real run for her money, if not knock her out. Nobody's picking really for Cyborg to win by decision, so it's either KO or nothing, according to the experts. Also, going for the light heavyweight championship, we have reject, I guess, because he got kicked out for putting the guy in a choke and not letting go when he tapped out. Renato Babalu Sobral versus Gegard Mousasi. And then Strikeforce lightweight championships on the line between Gilbert Melendez and Mitsuhiro Ishida. Also on that card, Jay Huron versus another UFC reject from the Ultimate Fighter show, Jesse Taylor. Fabricio Verdum versus Mike Kyle. Mike Cook versus Scott Lighty. David Douglas versus Justin Wilcox. Zach Bucia versus James Terry. And Isaiah Hill versus Alexander Trevino. And then we have no fights listed here, but I'm sure they will have fights at UMAX 8, All Heart, No Fear, August 15th. Akron, Ohio. By the way, the Strikeforce event's also Saturday the 15th. Then we go to Rage in the Cage 133 out in Santa Ana, Pueblo, New Mexico, where we have another former UFC guy, Edwin Dupont, Eric McElroy leading that card. And a whole bunch of other good fights there. Go to surdog.com events page to view the whole list. I don't really have time to go through it. Then we have, we go out to Ontario, California, to the Citizens Business Bank Arena for Call to Arms, Called Out Fights. A couple interesting guys on this card, Thomas Denny versus Brandon Wolf. Thomas Wildman Denny was one of those guys from Strikeforce that found his organization, looks like. Then we have the ultimate UFC reject, Gabe Rudiger, who was kicked off the Ultimate Fighter show for refusing to try to make weight in one of the episodes. And he's fighting Vonda Braga. Ray Lozama is also on the card versus Jay Silva. And a whole bunch of other good fights on that card. Summer Fist 3 is out in Irvine, California. No fights listed on that one. M1 Challenge 18 Netherlands over in Haversium, Netherlands on the 15th. Check that out. King of the Cage, Thunderstruck, out in Everett, Washington. I don't know if that's a Gotti tribute or not. But then we have XFO 31 Outdoor War 5 in Island Lake, Illinois. Bart Polizewski versus Lucas Gwaltney